And you may be seated. Take your Bible this morning, if you will, to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 14. 1 Kings chapter 14. While you're turning there, one other announcement. Some of you folks will remember Joshua, who was the great-grandson of Brother and Mrs. Barber. Joshua came to church here. He was a special needs child, and he passed away yesterday, was a week ago. He was 29 years old, and they're having a funeral for him. Graveside funeral for him will be on July the 18th at the Guido Cemetery. You say, well, where is that? Well, I'll talk to you about it after church, all right? But if you'd like to attend that, I know Brother and Mrs. Barber were members here of our church for a long, long time. Brother Barber's trustee. He was a bus captain. He was known all over Diamond Hill as Poppy. And kids would see him in the grocery store and they would holler out, Poppy! And they knew him. He brought many, many kiddos to church on the bus. And when Joshua was born, he was born with some special needs. And Brother and Mrs. Barber raised their kids. They raised some of their grandkids. And they raised some of their great-grandkids. And I don't think God necessarily intends it to be that way. But I'll say this. Brother and Mrs. Barber had a heart unlike most anybody else you had ever known. All right? So Josh was one of those sons. So those of you who knew him, if you might want to come to that service, we'll give you, it's 10 o'clock that morning at the Guido Cemetery. And so, if you, excuse me, it's not Guido, it's Dido. Dido. Does that sound right now? Some of you back there, Dido. I had that wrong. I said it about three times, and it suddenly occurred to me, hey, knucklehead, that's not where it's at. Dido Cemetery, all right? So some of you know where that is. But Dr. Barber, when's his funeral going to be? Do you know? Y'all were going to tell me at the table last night, and the conversation got shifted, I think. I heard it's Tuesday. Does that sound right? Does anybody else know? It's on Facebook. I'm not on Facebook now. Doesn't show up when I want it to be there. So, all right, there you go. All right, son-in-law, you're in trouble. You can't help me out, all right? But anyway, we'll tell you tonight, all right? I'll try to know tonight. All right, you're in 1 Kings chapter 14. Let's get there. Verse 21, and Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Judah, came up against Jerusalem, and he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He even took away all, and he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields and committed them under the hands of the chief of the guard which kept the door of the king's house. And it was so when the king went into the house of the Lord that the guard bare them and brought them back into the guard chamber. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And his mother's name was Naamah, and Ammonitis, and Abijam, his son, reigned in his stead. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you this morning. I personally, Lord, need your help physically. And I ask you, Lord, to give me the strength to preach today. But Lord, especially I ask that the Holy Spirit would be in our midst. He would speak to each and every heart. Deal with us today. Help us. And Lord, give us what we need, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, you and I live in a day of substitutes. There are substitutes for all kinds of stuff. I was thinking about it. I think the first substitute that I really remember encountering in life was a substitute teacher. Remember in school, you'd have the substitute teacher. Bless their heart, they were mostly ill-prepared with little or no instruction for the job. They were extremely limited in their authority. The students knew that, and they made it worse on them. All right, substitute teacher usually didn't get much done, didn't get much teaching done. I think today I'm having to deal and struggle with sugar substitutes. I just want to tell you, all right, as far as I'm concerned, there's no substitute for sugar. There's just no substitute. I was at the fellowship meeting Friday. By the way, those of you who prepared food, you did an outstanding job. Most of it I could only look at, but I enjoyed looking at it. But man, there was desserts there, and I couldn't touch them. There were brownies. I had to endure the smell of those brownies being made at my house as my daughter cooked those brownies, knowing the whole time I cannot taste of one of those brownies. There were pralines made by Miss Abigail. We've got some of those still at my house. I can't touch them. They're there to tempt me. Last night I told my wife, I've had it. I'm going searching for something that's cold that I can eat that's sugar-free. And so I managed to find a sugar-free popsicle. And I just want to tell you, they're a sorry substitute for the real thing. All right, I mean, it's hard to find it. Some of you, maybe you've had to deal with and had to endure substitute for salt. You're not allowed to use salt for your health. Today there's even a substitute for intelligence. There's artificial intelligence today. Some of us, the artificial maybe is better than the real thing. I don't know. I'll say this. If you like substitutes, good for you. If you want to substitute powdered eggs for real eggs, go to it. If you would rather have powdered potatoes than real mashed potatoes, have at it. But I'm not interested in it. I don't like it. But there's three items in our text this morning for which there is no substitute. Absolutely no substitute. And any attempt at a sub for them will be a flub. It's going to be a flub. The first one is, I want you to see here, I find it very interesting. And I don't notice if you noticed it. When I was studying this week, deciding, Lord, what would you have me to preach? I was immediately struck by this. Verse 21 and verse 31 tells us the same thing twice. Twice, God saw fit to tell us who the mother of Jeroboam was. Did you notice that? In verse 21, said she was an Ammonitess. In verse 31, we see it again. Now look, when God says it once, you ought to pay attention. But if he says it twice, there's got to be a reason, all right? Big time, there's something there for us. Well, I'll be honest with you. I want you to see this morning, I believe there's absolutely no substitute for a godly mother. No substitute for a godly mother. Jeroboam's dad was the great Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. Probably the richest man who ever lived. His dad was an amazing man. But his mama was a heathen. She was a heathen. The Ammonites, you know, the Bible tells us that in his older age, Solomon married many strange women. By strange, the Bible does not mean weird, okay? They were strange women in the sense they were not Jews. They were not Israelites. He went to other lands and married women from other places out of the will of God. Out of the will of God. An Ammonite is that people who were Ammonites worshiped the false god Molech. All right? They worshiped that false god. That was his mom. She was a heathen. Idolatry was going to rise during the reign of Jeroboam. I don't believe that's an accident. You see, Jeroboam's mom worshiped the false god. She worshiped an idol, all right? Now, Jeroboam may not have been able entirely on his own to stop it, but he could have at least led the way. He could have led them right. He could have fought for right, but we don't find evidence that he did that. Instead, we see evidence to the contrary. Hey, ladies, can I say this to you this morning? There's no substitute for you stepping up and being a godly mother in your home. You said, preacher, my kids are all married and grown. That's all right. They still need a godly mother. They still need a godly mother. Your grandkids need a godly grandmother. There is no substitute for that. Man, thank God. I thank God that God gave me a godly mom. One that I never heard anything out of her mouth that she should have been ashamed of. Never heard any words out of her mouth. I don't care. I honestly cannot remember seeing my mom angry. There were times she should have been angry at me, but I don't remember seeing her angry. God gave me a godly mother. Ladies, you can be that godly mother. It is up to you, all right? It is just what you do. Hey, they need to see it, not just hear it out of your mouth, but not just what you say, but what you show them in your life. Or the way you do things, the way you carry yourself, the way you teach, the way you train, the wife that you are, the mother you are, the servant of God that you are, ought to stand out. There's no substitute for that. There's just no substitute for that. But let me say this, just really not even in my notes, but let me say this. If you have an ungodly mother, that's no excuse for you going wrong. That's no excuse for you going wrong. Don't give me that stuff. Well, you just don't understand, preacher. My mom was an ungodly woman, okay? There's some other folks sitting in here didn't have godly parents, but they've turned out to be godly people because they made a choice. But mom, I'll tell you, you make it a lot easier. You make it a lot easier for your children. You make it a lot easier for your grandchildren if you'll be the godly mother that they need. And I want you to see that there's absolutely no substitute for a godly mother. No substitute for that. I want you to look with me in verse 22, would you? And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord. That's the whole nation. They provoked him to jealousy with their sins. Say, what was it? Well, verse 23, for they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. Hey, can I say this to you? There is no substitute for God. There is no substitute for God. Take your Bible. Don't lose your place in 1 Kings, but let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 11, would you? 2 Chronicles chapter 11. 2 Chronicles chapter 11, look down, if you will, in verse 17. You notice what the Bible says. So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, strong 3 years. For 3 years they walked in the way of David and Solomon. 3 years. Hey, for 3 years God's people remained faithful to serve God. After Jeroboam took the reins as king, even Jeroboam decided, though, he didn't need God. After conditions stabilized in the land, after that kingdom was split, he made a decision. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 1. And it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom. There was. Nation had split, but he had got his kingdom established. Then it says, had to strengthen himself. He forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. Now look at verse 14. And he, that's still talking about Jeroboam. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. All right. There it is. Same fella. All right. Same fella. Didn't do what he should have. Didn't do what he should have. Did not stand for God. What a mess. How sad to me, I read these words, how sad they only lasted 3 years doing right. Can you imagine that? After all the greatness there was in King David, after the greatness there was in Solomon, it only lasted 3 years. Hey, conditions can go downhill in a hurry. It doesn't take long for things to go bad. It doesn't take long for a nation to go apostate. I'll tell you this, I've been amazed in my lifetime, it doesn't take long for churches to go apostate. They get away from God. Things like pride, things like overconfidence, cockiness, and even apathy come in and cause folks to get further and further away from God. And we live in a day, I think folks get so busy, sometimes they leave God out. Buddy, can I say this to you? When you do, there's going to be problems. You can count on it. There will be problems. They're going to erupt. You see, Gerald, he just neglected to prepare his heart to serve the Lord. He just neglected to prepare his heart to serve the Lord. Quit doing it, all right? He did it, all right? And just messed himself up. Well, how about you? Do you work on your own heart to keep it right? You work on your own heart to get it right? Hey, look, I want to tell you, that's one of the reasons. The more you're in church, the better off you'll be. The more you read your Bible, the better off you'll be. The easier it'll be for you to keep your heart right. The easier it'll be for you to stay right with God. Because you get out on your own, you're doing your own thing. You say, what happens? Well, notice the results here in the land, all right? The nation, the Bible said, did evil. They substituted idols for the real thing. They substituted high places for the appointed place of worship. Hey, they still had the temple to worship in. It was there. Man, a magnificent structure built for them to worship in. But they substituted high places. I think about it today. I hear people profess as Christian. Well, I'm a preacher. I just believe you can worship God at home. Yeah, but the only trouble is God instituted the church and told you to go. You see, that wasn't my idea. That's God's. God instituted the church, and he said, you forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. When you ever get the idea, hey, we don't need to do it the way God says, you're in trouble, all right? You're in trouble. Hey, don't try your argument with me. Try it on him. Try it on him. Man, the moral level of that nation degenerated so far that the Bible tells us the land was corrupted by sodomites. A terrible perversion. And I don't care what you're told today, it is a perversion. It is an absolute perversion. We've decided in our day to encourage that activity. Hey, we started back yonder with toleration. Then we decided we'll go beyond tolerating, we'll accept it. Now we've gone past that. Now we encourage it and push it. The so-called sexual revolution in our land has brought with it rampant adultery, a divorce rate approaching 50 or beyond 50%. Child molestation is not an uncommon thing. I get an email from the district attorney of Tarrant County, and they list in their convictions that have been where the district attorney is charged and people have been convicted. I'm amazed at how many of them are involving child molestation. Hey, it's rampant in our day. There's organized pedophilia. There is within our nation an organization known as NAMLA. And it is for the normalization of relations between adults and children, sexual relations, and that's supposed to be okay. Folks, if that doesn't turn your stomach, that shows what a terrible state we're in. Understand there's 60-some sexually transmitted diseases. We have still deal with the scourge of AIDS. And on and on and on. Why? There's no substitute for God. There is no substitute for God. You get to the point where you think, nah, we don't need Him. We're in trouble. We're in trouble in our land. No substitute. No substitute for a godly mother. There is absolutely no substitute for God. I want to go on. I want you to look in verse 25 of 1 Kings chapter 14. And it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He even took away all, and he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields, and committed them into the hands of the chief of the guard, which kept the door of the king's house. Now this may sound a little strange, but I want you to see there's no substitute for gold. There's no substitute for gold. Let's face it. You were given the choice between a gold bar or a silver bar. Which would you take? All right, there's no substitute for gold. I want you to notice what happened. Now remember how long they served God after the death of Solomon? 3 years, right? Look at verse 25. And it came to pass in the fifth year, a judgment came. They went wrong after 3 years, and in that fifth year, judgment came. They lost all their glory, all their power, all their wealth. Hey, let me say this to you. You say, well, I don't have any of that. Well, listen, you get away from God, what you're going to find out, Satan's going to rob you of all that's good. He's going to take away all that's good in your life. Egypt came calling to the nation of Judah. Egypt has always been, in the Bible, a picture of the world. Egypt came in and plundered the land of God's people. I tell you, when the world gets in, it will plunder you of all that God has for you. It'll take away all that God intended for you to have. When you allow the world in to gain control in your life, when you ought to be serving God and walking with God, instead you decide to follow the ways of the world, you're going to find out that the glory has departed. You're going to find out you don't have what you used to have. And the best thing they could do there was replace it with brass. Brass. Hey, didn't measure up. Didn't measure up. That was the best they could come up with. Their wealth had been plundered. and the substitute left them empty. Hey, you turn to substitutes, same thing's going to happen to you. The glory, the joy, the happiness, the thrill of salvation, you lose it. You lose it. And I don't want to lose that. They played this morning in the offertory, played The Lifeboat. The last verse of that song says, I'm ready to go now to that golden shore, to live there while ages shall roll. I long to see Jesus and saints of old in heaven, home of the soul. Hey, I'm ready to go. Why? Because I'm still enjoying that glory. Hey, the joy, the happiness, the thrill of salvation, it hasn't worn off. I still get excited thinking about the goodness of God when He saved my soul. I still have the joy of God just washes over me. How about you? Still got that? Or have you let God be replaced by a lousy substitute? Have you let that happen in your life? There's no substitute for what God's given you. None at all. And I just say to you in closing this morning, don't settle for less than that. Man, when you can have it all, don't settle for less. Don't take the substitute. Let me say this to you. I mentioned in the introduction, if I could, I'd love to sit down to a bowl of real ice cream. I'd like to do that. I'd like to go to the restaurant today and order chicken fried steak, mashed potatoes, and gravy. The real thing. Hey, I can't do that and get away with it. But I got the real thing from God today. Got the real thing, haven't lost it. How about you? Would you stand, please? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You this morning. It's easy for us to substitute something far less valuable, something far less good, something far less pleasing for the real thing from You. Lord, help us not to settle for second best. Use the invitation to speak to people, I pray in Your name. Amen. We sing this morning, page 383, Jesus paid it all. And He did. Did. Are you taking advantage of all that He paid? Are you substituting something? You need to come. Would you come this morning while we sing?
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small,